Welcome, everyone, to this third Thursday. This is Juneteenth, 2025. And we have a variety of guests here tonight from the voting task force to talk with us. So I'm going to ask that everyone mute except for those who are going to be speaking. And then when they have finished, I know that we have some members who want to speak either in favor of affiliate voting or who may have some concerns. And I think this is a great opportunity to have a discussion. So, who would like to begin? Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sharon. It's Connie. I will go
Connie,
ahead and
okay.
I'll start. I want to thank you guys all for having us. So we have part of the voting task force. We have Pat Sheehan and Jeff Tom as co-chairs, and Ray Campbell, and then John McCann, who is also the chair of Constitution Bylaws. So we can go right into the Constitution Amendment, or we can, I know some of them talked about wanting to go into some of the timelines. Do you want to go anything about the timelines or the voting, Sharon? You want to go over for us to clarify or go over with you?
Why don't we go into the voting stuff and then we'll talk about the code and the nominating
Okay.
committee and all of that kind of thing. Okay?
Okay, I
Because
can
we
do
may
that.
have people that need to go off. Who knows? You know?
All right. So Monday night is opening session at 7 o'clock Central. So all the times are Central. We'll have the roll call, the call to order, the adoption of the standing rules, and then the first reading of the credentials report. And then we'll do something different. We're doing the official roll call, official affiliate roll call this time. So all the affiliates will announce who the delegates are, nominating person, how many chairs you'll need, and if you guys want to donate or have any prizes for the convention during that roll call, affiliate roll call. And then on 8:30 is when the nominating committee starts and the door locks. So 8 o'clock, the door should open and everyone should be in by 8:30. Then on Tuesday, we have the first reading of the Constitution and bylaws, and there's no other action taken on those at that time. The nominating committee report will be given, and that's something new. We've always waited until in person, the hybrid, but we are giving that report on Tuesday. And then the second reading of the credentials report will be given, and then we'll do the resolutions will be debated, and votes will be taken by the raise hand on Tuesday. And as Nora was saying beforehand, excuse me, the unique voter codes will go out on Tuesday. You'll get those twice, actually. So that's the first time you'll get it is on the 24th on Tuesday. And then our mock election is Wednesday from 2 to 4. And I'm not sure who is running this year. I don't know if any of our voting task force people have heard, but I'm sure it will be someone fun. And then at 7 o'clock will be the resolutions will be debated and voted on by raised hands again. And then on Thursday, we have the resolutions and they'll be debated and voted on by raised hands. So then the Constitution and bylaws are on Friday at 7 o'clock. And they'll be read, and then their debate will take place. So on Monday, June 30th, we have from 2 to 6 is the individual record vote for all constitution and bylaw amendments and any resolutions that go for a record vote. And then from 7 to 8 is the affiliate roll call vote.
Excuse me, Connie, could you say what you mean by record vote? There might not be people who are familiar
Yep.
with that.
I can do that. So the record
Okay.
vote is anything that did not get passed by raised hands. People, if someone debated, Jeff, I'll let you explain a record vote. You're good at that one better than I am.
So the record vote is basically just the secret ballot individual vote plus the delegate vote. For constitution and bylaw amendments, it's mandatory. And for resolutions, if there's a certain number on the negative side as compared to the positive side, You can request a negative vote. I won't go into the formula, but not a negative vote, a record vote. So because it begin all resolutions begin with a Zoom vote, but if the formula works in the appropriate way, you can request a record vote after that. And that'll be on the 30th.
Thanks, Jeff. I knew that you could explain that much better than I could.
I hope. I'm
You did
not
great.
sure.
So then we get into the hybrid week. So on Saturday, you will get the unique voter code again. So it'll be the same code that you get on the 24th, but it will be sent out to you again on the 5th. So anyone who's looking for it, the email subject line will say ballot-ACB unique voter code. So if you don't get it, always make sure you check your spam or junk file. So then on Saturday, elections will start and we'll go until we have the first contested election. So once that starts, contested election. So then on Sunday, you have the individual vote for the first contested election for the individual votes. And that voting is from 2 to 6 p.m. for the individual votes. So then on Monday, when we get back into general session, since we don't have general session on Sunday, we have about 9:05, we'll have the affiliate roll call vote for the first contested election. And something that we're doing different this year is we've always waited until the end of general session to start this process for what's going to be the second contested election. We are going to go right into the contested elections right away. So once we know who has won the first contested election, we will start the process for the second contested election. So that will start right after the first one.
Connie, this is Sharon again. I just want to refresh people's minds if they haven't been following that we are electing officers this year.
We are electing officers.
Yes.
So the president, first, second, secretary, and
And
treasurer.
treasurer. Yes.
And there's
After
probably
that.
going to happen, since there's two board members running, that there'll probably be an open seat on the board. So there's a very high possibility that we could have a board position available. So then we would have a board position up. If one of the op or one of the board directors get put into an office position. And then one of the candidates, Katie Frederick, is running for secretary. So she is the elected. She's not elected, she is appointed by the president of the BOP, so she's a chairperson. So
Board of Publications.
thank you, Board of Publications. And she if she gets appointed, if she gets elected to secretary, then the president, whoever that may be, will appoint someone to replace her, and that usually comes within the Board of Publications. So that could be then an opening for a Board of Publication seat also. So that's just possibilities. We don't know, but that's very likely things could happen. So we could have a few contested elections or a few elections this year. So that was on Tuesday. So then we start with the second election. We go into the third. So we do that each day. So we have in the afternoon on Tuesday, we have the individual vote again from 2 to 6 for the individual vote for the third election. And then on Wednesday, we do the affiliate roll call for the third elected position. And then from 2 to 6 again that afternoon, we do the fourth election. On Thursday, the 10th, we do the affiliate vote for the fourth election. So if we happen to need a fifth election, we will have that election will be from noon until 2 for the individual vote. And the affiliate vote would be from 2 to 2:30 for the affiliate vote for the fifth election if we get into a fifth election. So we're hoping we can get all the race is done. If we don't, we would have to go into a third week. So we don't know how many races there will be, but that's what we're planning for. So any questions on that?
Well, since we're on this, maybe this would be the good time to talk about our delegate and alternate and also the nominating committee, and then we can get into the whole bylaw amendment about the affiliate vote. But I just want to say that this was a lot to take in, and Diana has done a very good, our delegate has done a good email about this, but also everybody who is registered will be getting this information day by day. Whether you're virtual or in person. So don't think that you have to memorize it all.
Actually, you don't even have to be registered because every member has the opportunity to vote. And
Correct. Correct.
so.
That's right. Okay. So, Diana, why don't you speak for a moment about you and Nona and who's doing what? And then, Jennifer, if you would, about the nominating committee, please.
Sure. Okay. So I am going to be the delegate again this year for Bay State. I am going to be in person in Dallas, and Nona is going to be the alternate again. We worked really well last year as a team, so I can't see it going any different this year. I sent out information to the Bay State announce list. It was very lengthy, so I apologize, but basically, our contact info is in there. I can give my email address if you guys want to like write it down or something. And Nona, if she wants to, can give her phone number or her however she's going to have you guys contact her. I believe it's via call.
Correct.
But
Yeah.
all of that is in the email that I sent out to the Bay State announce list, which if you're a member of our affiliate, you should be on there. So it's basically going to go exactly as Connie said, in terms of the voting. It's the same as last year with the timing, except when it does say 2 to 6 for voting, that's Central Time. Keep in mind, every single thing for a convention is in Central Time, and
Yes.
Central Time is 1 hour behind Massachusetts.
There we go.
So, that's basically what's going on. Again, like if you guys really explicitly want us to share our contact info on this call, like we will, but it's in the information and I'm gonna send it out again. Probably not the whole thing, maybe like a more abbreviated version of it just as we get closer into the start of the virtual week.
I think that's a good idea, Diane,
That's a good
especially
idea.
our contact information so that it'll be fresh and
It'll be fresh,
yeah,
right?
I'll send it tomorrow.
Right. And the individual voting codes, people may remember that you can vote on your landline, you can vote on your computer, you can vote via your iPhone, and save your code because it's your unique code that you get for the whole time. And also remember that if you vote as an individual, you still need to vote via Nona or Diana. They're not either or, they're both and at this point.
Yeah,
Okay.
if you submit
Correct.
your vote through the vote now, we don't know what you voted for. Like
Right.
we don't even know if you submitted it. So just like
Right.
let us know what who you're voting for and we will log it and I'll say it at general session and we'll be good.
I think you can,
Sharon,
yeah.
one quick thing for those who may not have voted before. If you do have an email and you get a voter code via your email, you actually don't need that voter code to vote because if you're going to vote via email, you'll get a link and the
Yes.
voter code will be embedded in there,
That's
and you don't
right.
need to put in your
Takes you
voter
right
code
to
at
it.
all.
I was just going to say that, Jeff.
Takes you right to
Yes.
it.
It's very easy.
Yeah,
But
I
it
love
will be
that.
what I remember about it is, let's say, if you want Mickey Mouse, check this box. If you want Donald Duck, check this box. And then you submit, and then you get a confirmation of what you did. So it's
You're
really good. And on the landline, Chris, have you used it on the landline? Can you say anything about that? Please.
Yeah, it works fine. You just dial in your code when it asks you to, and you have one for this candidate and two for that candidate, or however it works. It tells you very clearly how to do it, and it's not a problem at all.
And then do you get
Except
a
you have to keep
Bullwinkle
that
should run
code.
against Rocky, by the way. I think the Mickey Mouse thing's kind of getting old,
Yeah, I agree. But you okay. get a confirmation email afterwards that you've done it?
Yes.
You do?
Yes,
okay.
you do.
Oh, okay.
Yep, even if you do it on the landline,
okay.
yep.
Okay, good. Right. Okay. Somebody else was going to say something?
I was just going to say, too, the other thing, because there's a lot of numbers to put in for some people, mm-hmm. if you can put that, if you want to do it, one thing that you can do is, I don't know how you do it on a landline necessarily, but if you want to do the dial-in on, say, your iPhone, make a contact for it and put the number to call and then a couple of commas and then the voter code. Mm-hmm. And then it will just dial all that stuff in for you. The two commas make it, and you do shift four for commas when you're doing contacts. And that pauses it long enough for it to pick up and ask for the voter code.
Okay. And I believe on the landline that you can also use the help of an operator.
Yes, you can.
You can.
If you're not comfortable with putting in the numbers.
I've always done it automated, but people, you know, if they want to do an operator, they can do that.
Right.
Yes.
Does anyone have any thoughts about someone who might have a hearing impairment, if perhaps the landline is the best way, or?
That just depends.
Depends on the
hearing. The person. The other thing, too, guys, if you're in person in Dallas and you want to vote and you have any issues, I think we're going to have the precinct set up again, aren't we? So that people can go and get assistance if they need that.
Oh, get assistance. Okay, that's good.
That will probably be right in the registration area.
Okay. So let's have a word from Jennifer, and then take any questions.
Can I ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
I don't have an email. It's Jan. I don't have an email address right now, so how will I get my voter code?
So, Jan, did you have an email that ACB had before?
Yes, and when I registered, I let Janet know I don't have an email address right now.
Okay, so when the people who do not have an email were all sent letters, and they were received the first part of June. So I would contact the Minneapolis office and let them know that email is no good, and make sure that you get a voter code that way. Because that's what anyone who received the letter is asked to do, is contact the Minneapolis office to receive their voter code.
Yep.
Jan, do you need their number?
Okay, and I do. Just one second.
Sure. I know what that is.
I know it's 612.
Yeah, 332.
Yeah.
3242.
One second.
And I think it has to be done by snail mail, so you want to do that tomorrow if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. But call
Nancy at the Minneapolis office, and they'll give you the voter code over the phone. So that's what the letters went out, and then whoever received the letters in large print or braille, because they all got both braille and large print, their instructions are is to call the Minneapolis office. So they aren't.
Oh, good. Okay. So give them over the phone. That's good.
Yeah. So they give them over the phone.
612-332-3242.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Jennifer for a second, our nominating committee person.
Yeah. So I'm Bay State's nominating committee representative, and the nominating committee, as I think known as that, is this Monday night at, I'll go with Central Time, 8 p.m. Central, but that doesn't matter to everybody else, just me, what time it is. But what I'm encouraging everyone to do is to listen and read the candidates' bios and their description of themselves and all of those things, and then to email or call me with your, if you have a preference for a candidate, and specifically for the contested election. On podcast, I just found the podcast for the Next Gen Candidates Forum. And so that would be an option as well to hear from the candidates. And there were a lot of good questions that were asked during that forum. I'm really asking that people do that on Sunday, I got a full work day on Monday, so if you have not already given me input and would like to do that, then give me a call or an email. And that was
Jennifer,
it.
do you want to
I
put that out
might
on announce,
suggest
Jennifer?
that you send me an
Yes, I
out
was just going to
email.
say,
Yeah,
I'll send an
okay.
email.
It was in Diana's message that she sent, but I'll send a separate one that has nominating committee in the
Perfect.
subject line
Right.
so people
And
have that, please.
Jen, what's your number?
It's 774-286-2800.
And that's by this Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
The 21st? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Jennifer, I have a question. This is Brian. My question is, have any of the candidates approached you to nominate them or second them in committee?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
And there are candidate pages on the acb.org
Oh, yes.
if you
Thank you. Yep.
like to go and if you like to look that way. And
And
and also
also,
Media 2
yeah.
has, which is, ACB Media 2 has been running the candidate bios
Yeah,
and their little.
there's a whole schedule of what they're running on Media 2. I don't know if there is a phone option to call in to listen to ACB Media stuff anymore.
Don't know.
I don't know if there is not, but there are numerous ways to get the podcast if you have, if you don't have a computer, if you have something like a Victor Stream, if you subscribe to ACB dash or space business, I think is what you subscribe to, and you can get all of the candidate stuff from there. There's one podcast got all the little promos that the candidates did, and then there's the forums that Sharon was talking about that are
Yeah.
very, very good.
Also, I just have a question about the auction because that's coming up first. Where is the list of items for the auction? Is that on one of the media channels too?
I got a list today of the appetizer auction,
Yeah,
but
that's just day one.
that's just
Yeah,
day
the
one.
appetizer
I
auction is
think I
happening now,
read
I
that it
think.
is,
It's
Chris, but I'm
Yeah,
yeah, there is a list
on the
on
website,
the
but
schedule on Media 2, I want to say.
okay. All right. I'll check
yeah.
Media 2 and see what they say.
And any of you who have ALEXEXA, you can ask her to play Media 2.
Yes.
So that's another way to
Yep.
get at it, all right. Are we ready to move on? Are there any more questions before we move on to the bylaw amendment? Okay, I'm going to mute, and whoever is ready to take that on.
All right, John, do you want me to read anything about the proposed language or do you want just to go into it, John?
Yeah, why don't we just read 3A, all the sections on 3A, and then I'll speak to it.
Okay. So,
Well, I guess before you start, let me say that the only thing that we will actually vote on is language in Article 3A, though if it passes, there will be a lot of conforming amendments, and those conforming amendments are listed in the report, both the written report and the oral report. Listening to it orally, I think, is very taxing, and I think people who try to do it that way only will glaze over, and I reiterate my offer. To make the written report available to anyone who wants to reach out to me as chair of Con and Bylaws, John, JOHN, at jamsite, JAMSITE dot net. So it's John, conventional spelling, JOHN, at jamsite. It's like website, but my initials, JAMSITE dot net. I'll happily send you that report. And then I did put it out on leadership, and I asked that it be distributed to email lists to which I do not have access, such as the president's list and the conversation. But a lot of the report, particularly as regards this, has to or details the conforming changes which were included for transparency, but they will not be voted on separately on advice of a parliamentarian. Now, parliamentarians advise, they do not make rulings. I dare say that the first item of business on, well, besides the reading, before we get into the debate will be a ruling from the chair that she is accepting the advice of the parliamentarian, and that hence 2025-02 will only involve the language that Connie's about to read, both as it exists and as it will be if we pass this. And then I'll speak to concerns about it.
All right. So amend Article 3, Section A, by reclassifying, quote, affiliate organizations, unquote, as non-voting members of ACB, except that such organizations are accorded full participatory rights in the nominating committee as provided for in existing Constitution Article 6, Section D. If adopted, this amendment will eliminate the affiliate vote and will also necessitate the conforming amendments set forth below. So Article 3, Membership, Voting, and Dues. A, Membership. Replace the second sentence, which currently reads, voting members shall be affiliated organizations, their voting members, life members, and members at large of the American Council of the Blind. The proposed language, voting members shall be certified members of affiliate organizations, life members, and members at large of the American Council of the Blind. Replace the third sentence, which currently reads, non-voting members shall be the individuals and entities holding sustaining memberships and those persons holding junior memberships, whether at large or joining as junior members of an affiliate organization. So the proposed language, non-voting members shall be those individuals and entities holding sustaining memberships, those persons holding junior memberships, whether at large or joining as junior members of an affiliate organization, and affiliate organizations except that such organizations are accorded full participatory right of the nominating committee as provided for in Article Section 6, Article 6, Section D.
Okay. I will say that we've never had sustaining memberships. I think that goes back some 20 years when there was someone running for treasurer and thought that we might generate some income by designating organizations with some funds as non-voting members. So we elected not to further confuse or complicate the issue by dealing with that, but sustaining members is a non-entity and should be ignored for purposes of considering this amendment. Several things I think are important to note, and I do come from the perspective of Constitution and Bylaws Committee Chair, and the committee is recommending a due pass on this, but this should be an open and free forum for the exchange of ideas pro and con, and there will be a document coming out, I think, this weekend, talking about pros and cons. But several things that I want to say and make emphatic. First and foremost, you know, if people understand this, fully understand this, and decide that it's a bad idea and vote against it and the amendment doesn't pass, okay. I mean, I won't say that that won't make me sad, but that's democracy. That's democracy. I'm okay with that. What would come close to breaking my heart is to see it voted down because people don't understand or are confused about what's going to happen here or what we believe would happen. So what this amendment does is take affiliated organizations out of the category of voting members. It makes affiliated organizations non-voting members, meaning you no longer have the affiliate vote, but all other incidents and components of membership remain in effect. That's explicitly stated with respect to participating in the nominating committee. This is not a stalking horse for trying to diminish the value, the importance, or the contributions of affiliated organizations. Affiliated organizations can still propose amendments, propose resolutions in their areas of expertise, etc. We're just trying to eliminate something that is either duplicative or
something that puts a thumb on the scale in a way that may be problematic. And I will invite Brian to speak to this because he made some insightful comments. I'm not persuaded, but he made, and you, Brian, you know what I'm talking about. And yeah, I hope you'll, no,
Well,
but
in general,
okay.
yeah.
But just to finish on this, it's not an intended stalking horse for any diminution or saying affiliates aren't worth all that much, but several realities here. I think the lion's share of our affiliates are at this point 3 votes and under. So if they split, 2 to 1, 1 to 2, then your net gain 1 or 2 or an outright wash. I think when you look at BITS, Florida, CCLVI, there are only about 30% of our organizations have 80% of the affiliate votes. So there is already a certain problematic or potentially undemocratic thing going on here, but I'm not casting aspersions. Affiliates under the tenet of affiliate autonomy, affiliates are free to apportion their votes according to whoever elects to participate in the affiliate vote by telling their delegate or alternate the way they think the affiliate should go. I don't believe any affiliate anymore is operating under the unit rule. Though if they were, I think under the tenet of the cultural ethos of what affiliate autonomy, we would have no recourse. They say, well, 51 wanted yes and 49 wanted no, so we're going yes, and we have t 22 votes. I think we're beyond that point, but I want to emphasize, I just think this is duplicative, and we need to just make the maximum use of our time rather than reconvening to what's the word, to solicit or to tally up affiliate votes, which basically amount to a replication in almost all instances of the individual vote, allowing for rounding errors.
John, could you say a word about why affiliate voting started in the first place?
My understanding is, and I believe this is correct, it was certainly a component if it wasn't the totality of it. Affiliate votes were initiated to take account of people who could not come to convention. I believe it goes back to the Constitution as originally drafted in 1962. And back then, if you didn't attend convention, you didn't get to vote. Now that we have the wherewithal to have to allow everyone to participate, we couldn't make voting any easier than it is. The affiliate vote is, at least to the extent that that was its motivation, an anachronism. So it really is a historical artifact to take advantage to take account of those who could not physically attend convention. And that might have worked at the time, but I think it's legally problematic today to do it that way.
Well, and I'll just make the point, John, a couple of points about
Yeah,
that.
sure.
First of all, you mentioned that the affiliate vote in a lot of ways mirrors the individual vote. Well, think about that. In person, we were just in person. What did we all do? We walked around and we asked people how they wanted the vote to be reflected if we were delegates, and we cast it accordingly. I can tell you that, as once we started getting ACB radio coverage of conventions, I routinely, when I was serving as a delegate, I routinely let people know how they could contact me and say, that we're not there, and say, hey, if you have a feelings about how we should cast our affiliate vote, share them. And maybe one person did
Hey,
in all that time that I was doing that. It was still the people that were there that were impacting that
the meeting is
vote.
being recorded.
So that's the one thing. The other thing I'd say too is that I've heard comments like, well, people, only a small fraction are actually voting, because even with universal enfranchisement or where everybody can vote. And what I'd say to that is a couple things. We have elections in this country where like maybe 10, 15% of people turn out to vote. Do we do something to artificially inflate votes in those cases? No, we don't. You know, in a lot of ways, you can think of the affiliate vote as kind of like the Electoral College in a lot of ways. Not quite analogous, but something similar. But so we don't do that in those kind of cases. I mean, why do like taxing bodies put referenda on spring election ballots? Because they know not a lot of people are going to turn out and stuff. So they can kind of sneak them through. The affiliate vote has served ACB well for 64 years, and it has been a vehicle that, was intended and, and could be used to make sure that the votes of those who couldn't attend could be, could be reflected. The other thing too is that every member gets the opportunity to vote. Remember, it's not been too many years ago that you had to actually be registered for convention and in order to vote. And we found out that was illegal per the DC code. So now every member has the opportunity to vote, and we have made it as simple as possible. We've provided, as was just demonstrated earlier this evening, we have a way for people that don't have email to get a voter code and to participate. So the affiliate vote has really kind of, really, outlived its usefulness. As I said, it served ACB for a long time very well, but it's time to now that we've got the ability for every member to vote, we certainly would encourage each and every member to take that responsibility and to do it. It's time to move on from it, and that's just all I wanted to say.
I wonder if we could hear from Brian now.
Sure.
That would work.
For those who didn't get a chance to listen to it, Steve Dresser put together an edition of Council Connection where he and I had a back and forth discussion on pros and cons of this. So as I speak, it's from that experience that allowed me to put together my point of view on things. So number one is that while John is correct that one of the reasons for affiliate votes was to give a voice to those who could not, for one reason or another, attend the national convention and therefore cast their single vote, I would suggest to you there was a second reason for it, and that is to try to create a balance between those back home and those in power at the time, as a check and balance to having individuals run for office, become elected to office, and then find a way to simply keep staying in office. Remember, ACB broke up with NFB over this idea of top to bottom, bottom to top approach toward democracy. The second thing I'd mention is that democracy is a very interesting term, and we mean it differently. All those who live in the United States believe we live in a democracy, which we do not. We live in a democratic republic where we elect individuals based on their campaigns, promises, etc., to represent us, even on issues that we're not aware of at the time we elect them, based on our belief that they're knowledgeable enough and have an understanding of us enough to do things. So I'm very leery in using the word democracy as a way to justify any decision in this regard. We are right now a hybrid. We're both a democracy, everybody has a vote, and to some degree, we're a federation or a confederation, rather, of states' rights oriented kind of culture. So I would say that when you want to make a change to our Constitution, and I believe this committee has done quite a bit in thinking this through, this is not a hasty thing going on. But the fact of the matter is, what it would save ACB is about 20 minutes an election during those things that require a record vote. 20 minutes and an election. But it does add to the mix, again, this idea that some of the power of ACB continues to reside in its affiliates. The percentage of members at large in ACB compared to members of affiliates is quite low. And as a result of that, we continue to have that impact of what do the affiliates think, not to what do individual members think, but what do the affiliates think about some things. We elect or they get appointed the delegates, et cetera, et cetera. And each affiliate has the right to work out a means by which they determine how they're going to split their delegate vote, how they're going to direct their member to the nominating committee. So I would suggest to one and all that the only real value of making this change is a very slim one, and that's to save some time during the conference. If the argument that, hey, listen, the delegate vote and the standing vote, or I think we've got a new name for it now, that they're almost always reflecting one another, that works on the other side of the debate as well. Having the delegate vote has not, generally speaking, changed outcomes, but it has the potential to do so if the states are finding themselves in disagreement with something happening on the national level.
Thank you, Brian. Before we go to raised hands from people listening, is there anything from the voting task force team that they would like to say before we move into that?
I think I'll wait for
okay.
the questions.
Okay.
So far, we do have one raised hand, and it is Mary. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you to everybody to being here and talking about this. And I guess I'm just speaking in support of this amendment. I completely agree that it's time to eliminate the affiliate vote. It's not necessary. I mean, it's not needed. We have the ability for every person to vote, one member, one vote. And I think as affiliates, what we need to do is encourage, work on ways to encourage our members to become more engaged and to actually vote. And that's where we need to make the, put our energy and effort. And where we can still have influence is in not only encouraging members to vote, but in educating members on issues and on the background of candidates. So this doesn't disempower affiliates. It can empower them, but it's one member, one vote, and that's what we need to work towards. So I commend the committee for bringing this to the membership. Thank you.
This, but anyone, Jeff, I want to briefly associate myself with Mary's comments, because, you know, granted, and I think even Brian would grant that the times where this potential for a problem between an affiliate and the national organization are relatively far and few between. But let's say there is one, because there could certainly be one. Let's take, it's harder for a state one to come up, but let's take an easy one to think about. Let's say that there was a resolution to emphasize advocacy only on issues of employment and to de-emphasize senior issues. So the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss would have a real, you know, problem with that, presumably. And so, you know, one could say, okay, if they have a delegate vote, they could use that to help their cause. But as Mary pointed out, they could just as easily, get their members together and say, hey, we really want to encourage you to cast your individual votes on that issue. And really, in terms of helping, active rank and file members to participate in the organization, that's really more important than some, sort of delegate vote that one person casts. So I kind of think, I really believe that Mary's point is well taken.
Do we have anyone who'd like to speak about concerns about the affiliate vote?
I would.
Okay, Chris, and
Yeah.
then we'll go to whoever wants to, you can go back
Okay.
and forth.
My concern is how it can weaken affiliates because everybody in the world functions better with a deadline. And the deadlines have to do with getting the information to ACB about who's on your voting list and who does this and who does that. And I think that without an affiliate vote, I think that there'd be a subtle message about, well, everybody's an individual and, we don't even really need to get this together as tightly as we would. And we do have, I've heard credentials reports where such and such a state didn't get something in. I've also heard the convention start and a couple of affiliates suddenly are not, they're there, they're supposed to be, they've gotten their info in, but they're just not around and nobody's, and that is sad for those affiliates. But I think you'd see more issues with getting, it's one more incentive to get things together in a given affiliate or state. We, in this state, we've done well as a state. But within the state, we had an affiliate, the Guide Dog affiliate, was struggling to get their information together. And probably part, if they'd been given an incentive, and not that we wanted to change our constitution to put an affiliate vote in, but if there'd been something like an affiliate vote, as big as it was, because they were a big part of the organization, they would have maybe gotten their list together. And the state, of course, filled in, pretty much knew who they were. It didn't really affect our credentials, but it can, especially in a poorer state, a smaller state. Things of that sort. And I think it weakens the affiliate. When you have that March deadline looming, everybody who's an ACB member within chapters, within state affiliates, within special interest affiliates knows that they need to have their house in order by a certain time. And if they don't have that incentive about affiliates, well, yeah, but well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. And I think the credentials report would get a lot more problematic. And I don't even know if there'd be a credentials report because it's really talking about who the, what the affiliates have sent in and all that. So that's another issue that would need to be dealt with by this committee and others to figure that out. But that the convention committee, that's not my thing. My thing is just it's a time for gathering the sheaves, for getting the names on so that I want to make sure that I can vote and I want to make sure that if I, and especially it was in the days of the convention, you don't want to go there and say, gee, we only have 7 votes now. We should have had 8, but we didn't get enough of the names and enough of the payment or enough of the whatever's done to get that accomplished. You don't want to be embarrassed by losing an affiliate vote because you kind of, you messed up the deadline. So I think it weakens the affiliates because it takes away a central reporting date that can be important to some of them who might be struggling.
Actually, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but the certification is not changing. You still have to certify, you put in your membership data. You still need to certify, members that are certified and all of that. All those things still happen, and the deadlines are still the same. Now, it's not, the only difference is it's not going to be used for voting, counting up how many affiliate votes you have, but it will be relevant. And one other thing that comes here too, one of the big issues we had to figure out in doing this was how do we determine what a quorum is? And so we have, if you look at the conforming language, we do have language for that to make sure that that we can still determine if we have a quorum to do business. So a lot of the deadlines aren't changing. It's just that maybe to make sure you're kind of right, Chris, in the sense that We want to make sure we get all the votes we're entitled to. Certainly, that's part of it. But I think affiliates, well, I know affiliates are still the backbone of ACB, especially, not the state affiliates aren't important because they do great work in their states, but also the special interest affiliates, especially, they have people that are have expertise in whether it's aging issues or technology or whatever, and stuff, and that's and those things are still going to be needed and still important within ACB. And as John mentioned earlier, affiliates still have the power to submit resolutions, to gather their members and get their votes out there, as Jeff mentioned, and and to even have people, as candidates are running and stuff, question them about, if there are concerns about maybe just throwing this out as an argument, maybe there's somebody that's running that's kind of anti-guide dog, and GDUI certainly wouldn't be happy about that, and they would want to do whatever they could to gather their members and get them to vote against that person if that was something that was coming. So I think there's still there's a lot of need for affiliates, and I don't think people join affiliates because, well, I'm going to be a 1/25th of a vote or something like that. People join affiliates because they get something out of it. Whether they live in a state, they want to join the state affiliate. The 700 and some odd or 800 and some odd, whatever it is these days, members of BITS didn't join BITS because they wanted to be counted as part of a vote. They joined because BITS is offering a lot of great resources and great training. So there's definitely, so I mean, I see where you're going, but I just, those deadlines are still going to be the same.
So two very quick things. First, on Ray's point with about the quorum. In fact, the quorum is going to require a majority of the delegates. So delegates still do have a limited purpose. But secondly, I agree with you, Chris, in the sense that it can cause a little bit of weakness in affiliates. But I guess what I would say to you is, if that's the best way that affiliates prosper, then we have a real problem on our hands, because affiliates ought to be prospering by doing things for their states or special interests. It shouldn't be based on some, foolish registration requirements with the national organization. So I think maybe this will encourage affiliates to do more things that cause their members to pay attention.
I'd like to do a little follow-on here too. First of all, the affiliates are going to be a huge, almost exclusive part of basically the dues collection mechanism for our organization. Okay. Now, right now, we have a silly situation where on March 15th, per the requirement, AMS shuts down. You can't add any new people. AMS basically shuts down till the beginning of May while there's a whole lot of reconciling going on and bills sent out, etc. I said that this was not a stalking horse, and I meant it, but it could set up a situation for our not having the situation where the tap is turned off on March 15th, and then it comes back on May 1st up to the record date. Perhaps we could move if the 15th up to April 15th or May 1st and have one continuous period and then just one period of debt collection. That is something that is at least a year or two out, if it's even feasible to do it. I would not presume to say that that can or should be done without a detailed discussion with a lot of stakeholders, particularly the Minnesota office, who would be collecting money. But I personally, as an AMS administrator, I'm very unhappy that there's this 6-month period where I can't do anything with AMS, and there's a 3.5-week period when I can. Then the record date comes in, as it did on May 23rd this year, and I can't do anything with people who are learning about the great things BITS is doing and want to join BITS, and they join, we'd recognize them right away, but not for ACB purposes. That's statutory. We can't do anything about that. But this on again, off again thing is something we can take a closer look at, or at least change the timelines a little bit.
Well, and the last thing I would just say to kind of add on to that is that you have we would be able to there's we only get like what is it? It's a very small percentage of the money that ACB takes in is from member dues. And there's even been some whispers about, well, should we even collect dues as a national organization? And, I mean, right now, I mean, I pay $5 from this affiliate and that affiliate. I mean, I'm in 9 affiliates. So I'm basically paying $45 in dues to the national organization every year because of, actually, I'm not because I'm a life member, but if I wasn't, I would be. So, yeah.
Because I think there's a need for those present to hear pros and cons on this, I'm kind of acting as the devil's advocate. I think that we need to draw some distinction between state affiliates and special interest affiliates. What kind of value there is in having delegate votes. We have as an incentive to the leadership of our affiliates, both types of affiliates, that the more members they get, the more votes they'll have. I'm talking about the leadership of those affiliates, not the individual members. I agree with you that nobody's joining Lua because the Lua will get an extra 1/25th of a vote. I don't think that's at all true. But I do believe that one of the motivations for affiliates to get their members registered is that affiliate vote. It gives an incentive to the leadership to do what the leadership should be doing. It's work. Absolutely work to do that. I would suggest to you that most affiliates in ACB struggle to get it done properly. But the incentive to do so is the affiliate vote. If John, and I'm not talking about John 10 right now, but if a guy named John pays his dues to his chapter in Hoboken, New Jersey, and that chapter treasurer passes a portion of those dues on to the state affiliate, and then that state affiliate passes a portion of what they received onto ACB as their dues per capita. That's all fine and good. But if one thing breaks down in that chain, if those who are having to do all of that money handling don't see that their affiliate will benefit or lose value as a result of the delegate count, then I think that that's going to make it much more likely that there'll be people getting their things in late or without the necessary attention to detail that it requires.
I think Brian makes a solid point. I don't know that it's going to be as grievous as you might think, but I do think there is definitely something to what you say. And I think it's going to actually cause more momentum to radically change our whole dues collection structure, which is very archaic and out of date. And so, I'm not necessarily thinking that what you say is so bad in the long run, but it may cause some problems in the short run. I can agree with that.
Brian, I'd like to circle back to something that you said initially, and I do want you to respond to it. That's why I didn't do it, immediately when you last spoke, and I'm not talking about just now, the previous one. You talk about the influence of affiliates providing, if you will, a check on, I don't want to say rabid democracy, and you are the most articulate spokesman in opposition by far and away, and I listen carefully to everything you say, but what worries me about that is the extreme disproportionality of the way things are skewed in the affiliate votes now, where 30% of the affiliates, and we have like 64, 65, maybe 30% or slightly under 30% have 80% of the votes. That kind of skewing really disturbs me in terms of the check or the influence that you spoke to earlier, and I wonder what your response would be to that.
Well, two things. Number one, if you take a look at our current membership records, the only affiliates that are growing are special interest affiliates. So
Okay.
while they have, none of them, I shouldn't say none of them, BITS is now topped at 25 delegate votes. So a special interest affiliate did that growth, but it wasn't alone in the growth category. The one state affiliate topped the 25 vote this year, Florida. So it's amazing that things are happening, but it's still predominantly growth is in special interest affiliates. When BRL is concerned about something that's happening at NLS about braille production of material, yes, they can get together, they can put together a resolution, they can bring it before the membership, and the membership can vote on it. But the fact that it comes from BRL gives it credibility. And not just because it's the sponsor, but BRL will get up and vote in favor of it with their BRL delegate votes. I think that that really is of value to speaking to the interests of individual affiliates. In my time on the ACB board, and I was on the board for, God help me, 18 years, we had a number of problems that occurred out there. We had the Hawaii affiliate, two affiliates, same state, one saying we shouldn't object to the quarantine in Hawaii, and one saying the reverse. And both of them were given the right to speak out to their point of view. We have two affiliates in the state of Kentucky. Primarily, the history of that, I believe, came from disagreements in state leadership that caused them people to join one or the other of those two affiliates. Now it's kind of superfluous because the president of one was Carla and the president of the other was Adam. And even if they weren't president, they were the delegate or something along those lines. It is a bit of a muddy situation that we have out there. But I do believe that the fact that I think it was Tip O'Neill said that all politics is
Politics,
local,
local.
right? All politics is local. That affiliate, ACB, is not, has not prided itself on being a national organization cut into pieces called affiliates. It's been the other way around. It's been local organizations who organize and get members and then affiliate themselves as organizations and the people that chose to join them to make ACB's ranks what they are. Do I think that we do a good enough job in ACB to get the vote out? We absolutely do a horrible job. Name one of ACB's PSAs on ACB media that have anything to do with be prepared to vote. There isn't one, not one. So I'm not saying that the world is perfect right now. The last thing I'll say on this, by the way, is that ACB is going through a lot of changes, a lot of changes. We don't know how we're going to proceed when it comes to this hybrid business. It's something we can't put that cat back in the sack. It's out there, it's going to happen. We need to find out how to take advantage of it, not disadvantage of those changes. But I do honestly believe that ACB needs to work on several things. The one thing I really love about
Excuse
this
me,
election.
excuse
Go
me,
ahead. Go
Brian.
ahead.
Sorry to break in.
Yeah.
I really hope we could have some more
Oh,
people talking. We've got a
I
bunch of
agree.
raised
I'm going to
hands. Could
ask you
we
to.
get to the
Yeah,
raised hands?
we
Certainly.
do
We do
have
have raised
several
hands.
raised
That's fine.
hands.
I
Please.
appreciate that.
Go ahead,
Dr.
Donna,
Brian,
please.
sorry.
David, actually, you are first in the queue,
Okay.
followed by Jeanette
Yes.
and then Mary. Chris, your hand is still raised. I don't know if that was intentional. I can lower it for you, though, if you want.
Yeah, I can lower it too. I just didn't know it was still up because it doesn't,
Oh, yeah, no
a lot
problem.
of
Hard to
times
tell.
we don't
Okay.
always get the information. How many times do we hear this
Right.
voting where,
You know, yeah, next Chris is going to ask for some oldies. You know, you got to
Yeah,
be careful.
right. Go ahead, David.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry to break in. First off, thanks so much to you all for coming, spending some time with us, and for the work you've done. The one question I have is just a question in terms of numbers. What percent of individual votes? I mean, what's the percent of participation in terms of how many people vote as a percentage of the total? And one reason I ask is I know you probably don't have that for the affiliates because every affiliate does whatever it does. But Diana or Nona, correct me if I'm wrong, as an affiliate, and I think it's partly just because of the chaotic nature of how that voting happens, very few people vote. I think it was less than 10% of our affiliate voted
Yeah, from what
last
I
year.
recall,
Yeah.
we had, I think at the most, maybe like about 25 people for one vote, and we have about 200 members for Bay
Yeah,
State.
because my hypothesis I would have, I don't know what you all think of it, would be that voting might actually increase if voting was just simpler, just one person, one vote. Doesn't take a whole lot of time to explain what that is. And my guess is the participation would go up. But if I could just ask, what is the current percentage of those who vote? If you know.
Pat,
Well, I
isn't it
think.
like 8% or something like that? Can you recall? Yeah, I know it's under 10%, David. You're right.
If you
Okay.
accept that there are 8,000 members of ACB and the Constitution, the votes were is mandatory to be balloted. Okay, Constitution bylaws. We've been seeing about 400. So that would be what 5%,
5%, yeah.
between 5, 6, 7. It's definitely under 10,
Yeah.
and I would say between 5 and 7 range, which is frankly pretty pathetic. I would hope we'd get that up, but I don't want to turn into Australia or a communist country where you get fined for not voting.
It's pretty
I
constant the
think people
last
should
few
vote,
years.
but can't
It
miss
isn't
it.
really changing.
and it may be that the people who give votes to delegates are the very same ones who do the individual vote. You know, there's just a small percentage, right?
Well, that's been my experience as a
Yeah.
delegate, I'll tell you that. And even in those a couple of affiliates that I've been in where there is a pretty high number, special interest affiliates especially, there's a pretty high number of people who participate in the delegate vote. It's usually the same people who are individually voting.
Does that
Not.
answer your question, David?
Yes, it does. And again, I would second what Ray and others have said. I think the main reason people join ACB, join affiliates, is because of the services they're getting from them. And one last thing, the G, you know, I don't know if for your average member, the whole notion of how many delegate votes are we going to get really drives membership. I say this a little bit tongue in cheek, but one reason why I would hope there would be more members in BSCB would be to have bragging rights against NFB, to make us the biggest in the state. Not so
Yeah.
much. And I bet that might be the case for other
Well, and we'll still have
states
the
too.
membership growth award. Don't forget the membership growth award. That is something worth competing for.
Well, we got a long way to get up to where Bits was.
Well,
Anyway.
yeah. Bits can't do it now because I mean you can't
That's
grow
true.
beyond 25. That'd be scary.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have Jeanette.
I do think that for those of us who are chapter presidents in our affiliates, that part of our responsibility, whether there is an affiliate vote or not, is for us to take the bull by the horns and contact our members and make sure that we do the things that we need to do in order to get our members certified. And I can't see, for me, with or without an affiliate vote, I can't see that my responsibility in that regard would change. One of the things that I have heard some people say is that they want to join as many affiliates as possible so that they would have an influence in the way the vote happens in the long run. And I think that that's the piece of having an affiliate vote that makes me think it's time to get rid of it. I think there is a real difference between being represented and trying to make yourself the person that can throw a vote in the direction you want to throw it in. And I do think that my concern about the current affiliate voting thing as it is now is that I know that there are some people who honestly do believe that if they join enough affiliates, they can influence a vote. And that's what I'd like to see go away. So those are just my perceptions. Thank you.
That's interesting. I've never heard anyone make that comment before. That's a very interesting comment.
I'm new enough in ACB that I sometimes hear things that have surprised me along the way, Jeff. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much for that. I'm not endorsing or disagreeing or agreeing. It's interesting you say that.
Okay, and Mary, you are up in the queue.
Okay, thank you. So in response to what Chris had mentioned or was expressed his concerns earlier about the whole certification process, someone still has to certify members, you know, because whether we have the delegate vote or not, by certifying individuals, we're giving the individual members the right to vote through AMMS. So that responsibility doesn't change. It's still as important as it is when we were, you know, certifying for the delegate vote, because those delegate votes are individual members' votes. So that is still, you know, really serious. We still have to do it by the record date in order for people to be able to vote in a national election. So any affiliate who doesn't take that seriously, you know, or the person doing it doesn't take it seriously, then, you know, the leadership has to replace that person, because their members aren't going to have a chance to vote if they don't do it in a timely way. Thank you.
I'd just like to thank you, Mary. And that's actually a great point, interesting point. The other thing, too, that I wanted to respond, I couldn't remember exactly what I wanted to say, but it's just something Jeanette said. And that is that, you know, you talked about responsibility of affiliates contacting their members. So one of the things that a lot of times we bring up various things in ACB, we hear, well, we have members who don't have emails, so how are we going to contact them? We need you as affiliates to help us reach those people. You know who they are. You know what the best method to contact them is. And it's important, I think, to use, you know, it's still going to be just as important to use your chapter meetings, use your calling committees, use whatever means you have as affiliates when, you know, candidates come up each year. Yes, assuming this amendment passes, it's going to still be important, and for all of you to help educate those members out there so that they're voting, they have an informed vote. You know, we always know that we're going to vote for constitution and bylaw changes and for in elections by the record vote, which will just be an individual secret ballot of all members if this passes. And so it's still, the affiliate still plays a huge role in, and the local chapters even, in educating members about the issues, about the candidates, about the things that we're going to be asked to vote on, and encouraging them to vote. And you know, I'd even say, you know, especially getting down to the local chapter level, you know, maybe helping somebody. You know, if somebody needs some help, and if you know, granted, that's a person that you may have to, you know, if you're in that situation, you may have to tell them how you want your vote cast. But if that's a way to help you vote and get your vote counted, by gosh, that's the way to do it. So there's a lot that affiliates are still going to need to do, and that we want you to do to help us in ACB, even if this amendment passes.
I'm wondering if there are anyone who hasn't had a chance to speak who would like to. I don't want to keep this indefinitely, but I don't want to close off the discussion without having that opportunity.
I've got a question I'd like to ask.
Sure.
What's the harm in leaving things the way they are?
I'll answer that, and then I have a hard out as I have an Arizona Zoom matter at the call at 6:30. But I'd love to stay, particularly, you know, since Brian's involved. The harm, you talk about 20 minutes, and I think it involves, well, first of all, it involves a lot of work on the part of the delegates to accurately take the pulse of the membership, particularly in larger organizations, tally those votes. So there's that. You can say, I think it's more than 20 minutes. It's probably 40 by the time everyone gathers and the roll is taken and the roll is reported out. But if you have a situation where there are a lot of elections, let's say several contested elections, and then someone elevates from the board and there's a backfill, then there are elections for that. Look at the elections, how many times we ran an election, you know, in the last convention, I think the board of, well, you know, I won't get into personalities, but there was constantly rerunning an election. If every time you have an election, you have this anywhere from 20 minutes to 40, I think it's closer to 40. Every time you have that, it's going to become really tedious. And again, I don't think it's justified. I don't think the value of it, while you know, you present very articulate arguments, I ultimately, and this is just me, I don't find them persuasive enough to adopt a view in favor of keeping them. I just think that it's not worth doing. But that's a personal judgment.
And the other thing, the other harm, Brian, is that...
Thank you. If you need to go, John. Thank you very much. Yeah.
There may be other changes that we may want to make. You know, one thing that's been floated is the idea of, since there's no difference from one director to another on the board, is doing one ballot for board of directors and we take the top five, for example. That's just one example. That is very cumbersome to do with an affiliate vote. The other thing, just to reinforce what John said, as a delegate, it's a lot of work to gather all of those votes to calculate, especially when you have multiple items on a ballot. It's a lot of work to gather all those votes, to put them into a, you know, now I have technology, not everybody does. I have technology, I've got a spreadsheet figured out how to do that, but not everybody can do that. And so there's just a ton of work there to apportion the votes and to figure out how it's going to be done. And, you know, you might say, well, you accept that role as a delegate, and you're right. But at the same time, if we can lessen the workload a little bit, and, you know, what are people, and I don't know how much this would allow us to do this, probably not a whole lot, but maybe it's a situation we say every little bit helps. There are people clamoring for a shorter convention. And so, you know, that's true. But you know what? The best thing I learned tonight is I'm going to have one more year of service on the ACB board than Brian Charlson did. So
I pity you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
God, this does break my heart, but I got to go. Thank you so much. It's been
an honor. Thank you very
much,
John, for all your work in over this many months.
Well, sure. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we know that we will be voting on this, and we don't know what will happen, but I urge you all to listen and thank you for hearing different points.
And I think we'll be the most informed state going in, or one of the most informed states going in about this. I don't think John, and now that he's gone, but I don't think, at least from Massachusetts, that John is going to have the thing that he said would bother him the most, that if the amendment went down, that people wouldn't understand what they did or didn't do.
Exactly.
And I think that that won't happen in this state.
I agree.
Well, I agree. And thank you all for inviting us to be here, and for all of your comments. I think it's, you know, the best thing about advocacy, I've always said, is let's hear from all sides, and before you make the decision, let's understand what the, you know, maybe the opposition is, you know, has to say, and you've done that well, and we certainly appreciate
that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.